Welcome to Mecha Do About Nothing, the only mecha podcast capable of tearing apart alien souls. I'm your host, Ian Gregory.
And I'm your host, Daniel Forziat.
And this I just want to jump on it.
Honestly, thank you, Ian, for not throwing me a curveball this episode.
I don't know. I did think about it before we started recording. I was like, what could I say to Jan to really throw him off?
My heart skipped a beat, actually. Yeah. I was like, but thank you. And this week, sorry.
This week, we watched our third block of Macross 7 episodes, episodes 21 through 30, which takes us right over the halfway point of the show. Well, Dan, last week we were begging for some sort of twist or plot development, and I think we may have gotten it.
Yeah, it could only take so long, right, for this to happen. Yeah.
So we got the big thing we got here is, I think, Sound Force, right? That's, to me, the biggest plot development. But yeah. Also the arrival of several new antagonists and the end of, like, the weird status quo where the city was separated from the military. Now they're together mm-hmm. again. So some plots come to an end, some plots open up.
Yeah, and I actually kind of like the way they handled the subplots that we were given beforehand, because, I mean, I'm just talking specifically about Civil. It seems as though, while a lot of that stuff was kind of probably useless, she'll probably come back to become a much more important character throughout the rest of the show. Which is good, because it doesn't feel like it was all for nothing, maybe. Hopefully not. But, no. You know, there's only 20 episodes left, so we're on the final end of the whole thing.
Yeah, only 20 episodes left. Only the length of a two-core anime left to wrap up this story. How will
they
do it?
Some shows don't even make it this far, right? It's like, most shows are like 12 episodes nowadays.
Dan, we've already watched more episodes of this than we've watched of Razaphon.
God, and it feels so much better, doesn't it? Like,
it feels like we watched way less, right?
There's a thing that I definitely know we have, and I'm going to speak for you, Ian, and you can't interject because I'm 100% right, where we definitely get fatigued from watching horrible shows.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like, I've said this before, where when we watch a show we enjoy, these, like, cranking out 10 episodes a week is nothing. But God forbid we have to watch something awful. It just go, like, I think Full Metal Panic feels like it was half a year of my life of watching that show.
It was really a long time.
I don't even remember how long it was.
Like, it was really dragging out. I really was like, oh my God, how long have we been doing Razaphon? I feel like my brain is melting.
Yeah, right. I mean, that being said, this isn't the best show in the world. I mean, I guess I'm getting into overall feelings, but
it's still pretty good. Already. This is like, yeah, this is the best 10 episodes so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll talk a little bit about what makes these episodes so good, but I'll dive into the summary really quickly.
Yes, please.
Civil possesses Akiko during a firebomber recording session. She is very horny for Neki and also for everyone. She tries to seduce him, steps on his hot dog, and then freaks out listening to his music and runs away. It's shocking. Civil separates from Akiko and flies to Neki, who is playing his guitar. His anima spiritual is so powerful it blows her away and puts her into a spirit coma. Macross 7 almost falls into a sun, as you do, but with the help of Neki's music, they manage to reconnect with the military fleet and save themselves. Dr. Chiba, the military doctor studying the effects of music on people, develops a special sound system that manifests the energy caused by Firebomber's music. The military empowers a new unit called Sound Force, comprised of Firebomber, to go into combat zones and play their music using these sound devices. They successfully fight off more enemies, and in one fight even manage to attack Gepelnik himself, but they escape. Exidor, the Zentradi advisor, reveals that these enemies are proto-Devlin, catastrophic entities from ancient times that destroyed entire Zentradi fleets. More and more proto-Devlin are awakening because of, like, the amount of spiritual floating around and allying with Gepelnit's fleet. Neki finds Civil in the forest in a coma and tries to awaken her with his music while Gijil watches. Gamelin is transferred to Milia's command and leads Diamond Force in protecting City 7. He develops a rivalry with the reckless, military-rules-obsessed Docker, who runs Emerald Force and also has a better Valkyrie. Macross 7 lands on a planet to resupply with Macross 5, who's currently colonizing it, but they find that Macross 5 has been completely destroyed and most of the bodies are missing, but they've been turned into slaves for Gepelnik, and they are later freed by Neki's music.
Huh, it's like the humans, that's where they came from, you know? The other Macross.
Oh boy.
All right, let's do highlights.
We got some good highlights.
Oh my god, I want to just talk about the highlights.
So actually, I'll switch around the order that I've written here. So first, there's a new Firebomber song. There's actually a couple, but my favorite new Firebomber song is "Holy Lonely Night." No doubt, a reference to episode like 20 or like 30, whatever, of SDF Macross, which has an extended sequence of Hikaru Ichijo listening to "Holy Lonely Night." And this song rips so hard, unbelievably hard.
Not like super spoilers, but there's always like at least one scene in every Macross show or movie that is like unbelievably sick. And there's one I have in my mind. When we get to Delta, I'll tell you which one it is. But this part where Mylene like gives Neki his voice back and he gets his voice back shouting at the intro of Holy Lonely Night, blasting the giant like proto Devlin thing, was so unbelievably sick. It was like the best thing in the world, man. I loved it so much. God, what a good scene. And
it's so good.
And of course, you can literally just go find that exact scene I'm talking about on YouTube because everyone loves it. So if you just look up Holy Lonely Night, you can watch like that whole 6 minute cut of the episode. It's so good.
The other highlight for me is Neki is like sitting alone under his Valkyrie strumming his acoustic guitar when Civil comes for him. And he just starts blasting Holy Lonely Night. And the shockwaves it gives off, like, and she can't even get close to him because of the power of his music. He rocks so hard, she gets blasted away. It's a really cool moment.
He's just like standing outside, hanging out.
This is what I want out of rock Macross, is people rocking so hard they shoot beams of energy.
I actually, when you wrote that, I thought you were talking about the scene where Neki does the exact same thing to Gepelnitch. And that's actually another highlight too. That I have then. Yeah, where he's blasting and Gepelnitch's mask helmet comes off and we see how beautiful he is. God.
Another highlight for me is there's a thing where they show pictures or whatever of the enemies. To like when they finally reconnect with the military fleet, they're like, here's this person that's been attacking us. And Exidor, who's from SDF and Do You Remember Love, and I couldn't remember his name except they mention it, Max mentions it here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he goes, Proto Devlin. And then he just sinks under the ground. Like he just activates his elevator thing and puts his head beneath the deck and won't talk to anyone because he's so afraid, like burying his head in the sand.
God, it's funny. My last one, and it's something we never talked about before, but Neki piloted his Valkyrie with like a Guitar Hero controller.
Yeah.
which is, you know, our fault on an oversight of how unbelievably wicked that is and very flavorful, if not very impractical. And for some reason, they equipped all of the Sound Force Valkyries with the same sort of control system. So when Rei and Vephidos get into their cool like F-14 like dual pilot Valkyrie for the first time, they manage to crash it. And the reason why is because Vephidos is just having too much fun just playing on the drum set on the inside, and it's just like actuating the Valkyrie. I thought that was super cute. I was like,
that's good. And it's funny because it's like, isn't Rei a pilot? Like, shouldn't he know how to pilot a Valkyrie regularly? But I guess the point is he also then has to be playing the keytar at the same time. So they have to merge the controls with the instruments.
Mm-hmm. A non-highlight, a disappointment is a that Flower Girl has still not given her flowers to Neki. And that hurts me greatly.
It has been 30 episodes of this girl. And she keeps, the ways that she keeps showing up in episodes always gets me. Like, Gamlin sitting next to her with flowers and being like, haha. Like, he acknowledges her. Like, I don't know. It's really good.
I like how she's getting spunkier, right? She's getting a little bit, full of the old aggressive. Ned, as I would like to say. And I forget what character it is, but they come out of the car and they're like, oh, is this for me? And she just straight up, she scowls at him and she's like, nah, this isn't for you. And just
walks
just
some
away.
Dude. It's just some dude, I think.
And I'm like, thank God. Because she's getting sick of it too, right? You can feel it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that probably wraps up our highlights.
It's time then It's time for discussion, and I think we should start with Sound Force, right?
Yeah. So we actually, this is like where our plot comes from, as you discussed. And interestingly enough, this is very much similar to, I want to say all Macross, but I'm a little spoilers there for the, for Macross Delta as well. In the sense that our character has to decide if they want to join the military, which is like a reoccurring theme, kind of.
Kind of stolen. Even Hikaru didn't really want to join the military, remember?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, a little, you know, sort of like an Amuro Ray-esque trope that we've gotten from Gundam, probably. But yeah, so I guess they unanimously decide, kind of.
Well, basically, Max is like, Ray, who do you want to be on Sound Force? And he's like, well, obviously there's Neki, there's me, there's Vefidus, and then we'll find a fourth person to play the bass.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, not Milen. He's like, nope, definitely not going to be Milen. She's too young. Don't you worry. He's like, all right, great. Pick someone. And then they end up picking Milen because there's this whole thing where she proves herself, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
And he's like, and the fourth member, Milen. And Max like practically faints in shock, which is really good.
I not to steer away from Sound Force, but do we have some good scenes with Max in this?
Oh, the Max flashing back to young Max raising Milia. Max and Milia, mm-hmm. like young raising Milen is really cute.
And when Milane and Max go to like a bar to go talk or whatever.
Papa.
God, she's so good.
And Baba, and they're like, oh my God, that's so pervy. And Exidor just goes, that is the captain's daughter.
Yeah.
And no one says anything. They all just stare at each other.
Yeah, yeah. They're at the bar, and she's like, I'll have beer. And he's like, what? And she's like, I just orange juice, haha. And he's like having a rough time with her, and the bartender says something.
He's like, is this like a similar new woman?
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, it's my daughter. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And it's like... It's like, she's such a handful. Yeah, or something.
That episode in general is hilarious because we'll talk about it a bit later. Because Milen is just like, it's like she saw the Parent Trap and it's like, aha.
Also, I would need like someone to back me up on this because my Japanese isn't that amazing. But we had someone write in. I think it was Dan again, right?
Yeah.
Probably. And he said that their original kid that they had at SDF Macross, which we forgot because we can't think of anything. Her name is... Camellia?
Yes.
So little Japanese here for you, Ian.
Yes.
A dog is Inu, right?
I'm aware.
But a baby dog is Ko Inu because Ko is the kanji for child, like Kodomo. So Camellia is like little baby Melia.
Cute.
It's like a little pun. Maybe not. Maybe not at all, but that's how I saw it. I was like, oh, that's
this
funny.
This has so been Japan Corner.
Yes. But getting back to Sound Force, right? Not to steer away from all of that.
Neki like doesn't really want to do it because of course Neki doesn't want to be under the control of the military, even though like what Neki would be doing like literally would not change in the slightest. So he gets over himself eventually. Mm-hmm. A story of this anime, Neki eventually gets over himself. And then they've got all these giant robots together. Cause they all get fancy new Valkyries. That like the lens is pink and white because of course. It is. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked they didn't put her in it. I'm shocked they didn't create an SD Valkyrie just to put her in it.
You got him, Ian. You know the sexism present in Gundam Build Divers.
Actually, so the lens is the VF-11, which is a redesign, like a takeoff on Milia's Valkyrie.
Oh, that's cute.
So that's a cute touch.
Yes.
Anyway, this feels like the logical progression of the show, right? From Neki flying out to play guitar music to the whole band flying out to play music.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel too odd, right? Because Neki has already been just a renegade doing this, like as you just said, and now it's official, so he's going to presumably go on more important missions, and this is going to be what the main conflict is going to be about, is with, you know.
Yeah. Music whatever. Versus space devils.
Yeah. Yeah. Space devils. I just foresee this is going to be it for the next 20 episodes, probably. Unless for some reason it's only the next 10 episodes and we get another 10 episode epilogue. That would be bizarre, but you never know.
Wild. I think a big advantage, I think this is such a smart move because it cuts off instead of having another 20 episodes of Gamlin and Gamlin being like, get out of my way, Basara, you know, that was already getting old, and they were already getting to know each other outside of combat. This cuts that off completely, because now Neki's like a part of the military, sort of. So yeah. Now Gamlin is like, oh, I see how you are helping. You're really like doing stuff for us. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, thanks, Neki. We're getting along. We're helping each other in combat. He's really a good pilot. Like, and it cuts off like that element and now adds, like, lets us move characters in a different direction. So it helps facilitate the character development so that it's not stuck on the same bit for 50 episodes. Oh my God. I think it's really clever.
And I think that actually goes into our next section pretty well with our relationship corner.
A lot of corners this episode.
Yeah, we're like a dodecahedron.
That corner's coming up. Yeah, we got three corners. We need one more corner and we'll be geographically, geometrically stable.
Well, triangles. Oh, yeah, I guess that's Ian, that was very well done.
Thanks, Dan.
Or were you implying a triangle or a square?
No, I don't know. I don't.
The triangle is the strongest shape.
I did take the bridge building module in middle school tech ed. Yes.
I was going to say, Ian, please don't dox us by mentioning the exact name of our school.
Of our middle school.
I mean, even though we don't go there anymore, but still. It'd be weird.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't think they keep records that far back. All right. First in relationship corner, Neki and Gamlin bury the hatchet.
Yeah, I actually really like this, and as you just said previously, we're starting to see that these two characters are more, maybe not friends yet, right? But definitely
they're more similar than they thought. They sort of realize that,
like friendly rivals, you know,
they can stand being near each other. Gamlin and Neki are having a fun time laughing and playing around at the end of this last episode, and Milen looks kind of jealous.
Oh, that's like the most bizarre thing in the world in like a really weird way where
it's a good one
where he's like, yeah, I forget what comes up, but like Neki's just like, yeah, I'll sing for you. And Mylene gets out of her Valkyrie and just looks over. Right. And he's just spewing like song out of his mouth at him.
Well,
and
it's Gamlin's just, like cackling. Well, it's because Gamlin goes, Neki, you're not so bad. I'll really listen to your song. I'll really listen to one of your songs someday. And he's like, don't you mean Malen's songs? And Gamlin laughs. And he's like, I'll show you my songs. And just starts like a cappella singing at him while Gamlin laughs. And like Ray and Vefidas stand around face palming.
There's some good humor in this show. Actually, though.
We also get probably one of the most interesting conversations we've had, especially with Gamlin and Milen, where Milen visits him like on the military side and he's like, you know, well, Neki's like a really extraordinary pilot. He's much better than I am. And she's like, what? He's better than you? And so he takes her to this pilot training exercise where it's a chair on tracks and it goes up and across these tracks spinning around to simulate the turning of Valkyrie.
Yes.
And he calls it like G98 or something, right? And he's like, this technique is like really, I can't do it. Like, I just stop before I actually do it. But Neki does it constantly without hesitation. He must have incredible focus to be able to spin like this to dodge enemy fire. And it cuts back to showing us moments from before of Neki's Valkyrie spinning around and, like, dodging enemy fire and, like, in unbelievable ways. He's like, that's really incredible that he can do that while singing and also, like, without getting hit. He's a really great pilot. And then, of course, at the end of that episode, like, Neki's about to get hurt. Malen's about to get hurt. And Gamlin, like, pulls it out and does the G98 thing. And also, I tried to confirm this. Did you notice that episode 30's fight animation is significantly better than everything else in the series so far?
I actually thought I was going insane. There's a lot of scenes that look so much better. Like it went from what I assumed I was watching, like, what it felt like I was watching was like a 480p rip of like a DVD. And then all of a sudden, I was, like, watching it, and I was like, this is, like, the best thing I've ever seen. It looks so good, right?
Well, part of it is, so before, it used to be a lot of just, like, them shooting guns at each other, and it was straight lines of, like, the light. You know, they do light dots for bullets?
Yeah, yeah.
But now they're actually, in episode 30, there were a lot of missile scenes. Mm-hmm. A lot of, like, the classic Macross, like, firing missiles that go out and then come in. Tons of missiles, dodging missiles, that sort of thing. Which I mentioned last week, have been absent from the show for the most part. I was trying to figure out who was on staff for episode 30 because I thought it looked so much better than the other stuff that we had seen so far.
Or maybe it was just like budget allocation. Like maybe they really knew what they wanted to like do well, you know?
Or by the time we get to episode 30, the toy sales have started coming in and the budget gets upped.
Everyone was their the pachinko machines are coming out. You know, they got everything.
The point is, it looks good. And him doing those dodges under the missiles is like a really good cut.
One last thing I want to talk about in this Necky Gamlin thing is there's a scene where they're in dire straits in a battle, and Necky fires a missile, right? Mm-hmm. And it goes towards Gamlin because Gamlin's like in a tussle, right? And it like explodes really close to Gamlin, and everyone's thinks that Gamlin like oh crap, right? Like Gamlin's gonna be angry, and Gamlin like you know like very very angrily turns around and he's like Necky, and he's like. He's like, why'd you fire that missile? Your job is to sing. And it's like, oh, that's awesome. Right? Yeah, like, that's good.
I like that their rivalry is good, but I like that they've reached, like, this level where they're still sort of rivals, but they're not angry. I don't know. It's a more interesting interaction, especially because we saw every step of them getting there.
God, and like, think also, back to angry Gamlin in his tank top trying to hack the military records.
I forgot about that. Denied. That's my favorite scene.
Yeah.
I forgot. Gamlin's a hacker.
Yeah. And now we have like Gamlin and Necky like really broing out together. Brings a tear to my heart. Yeah. I like it.
That's character development. Next is like, I think we got to talk about Malen in her love triangle, her literal love triangle. It's literally a love triangle. She's singing her song. It becomes reality, and it splits into a triangle between Necky and Gamlin. And Akiko is like, the ways of a woman's heart are hard to understand. And Dr. Chiba's like, what do you mean? And she's like, you'll figure it out one day, Dr. Chiba.
Yeah. So I would say that Mylene is very much interested, obviously, on, like, you know, in real life, as real life is in an anime, into Gamlin, right? Where she's going on dates, she's like checking in on him, they're always hanging out. And then we have like those crazy scenes where it's always like a really not intimate moment, but like intense moment, aka like the Holy Lonely Night scene, where things like that happen and you can just like see it in Mylene's eyes. It's like, oh, she's falling for Necky, right? Like she's getting in on there.
It's like a little complicated because Necky has never shown any interest in Malen, really. And Malen really, like, it seems like her interest in Gamlin is often more friendly than romantic.
Yeah, he's getting friend zoned. Seems
like she likes hanging out with Gamlin, but she keeps being oblivious about things like being his girlfriend or that sort of thing. And she agrees to go on dates. She agrees to go on a date with some pilot, right? But that's only because he asked her and she was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then that pilot tells Gamlin that before the fight, and he's like, and
Gamlin.
I just think that she doesn't quite, like, she doesn't quite see Gamlin that way, or she tried to, and it doesn't occur to her. But Necky, she has like a fixation on because they work so well together. I guess there's like something extra there. Yeah. However, I don't really like the Malen Necky pairing. Because it's like, it feels predestined in a way that is uninteresting to me.
And also, it, like, Gamlin and Mylene are already like a cute couple that goes on dates and hangs out. I can't imagine Necky and her doing anything like that. Because even Hikaru went on dates, right? Like, Macross has a lot of dates.
Hikaru had like. It was like an absolute idiot, and he still had 8 times the emotional maturity of Necky Basara. Like,
yeah, but yeah, we don't see any of that.
Problem though is, I'm kind of, maybe it's just that I'm annoyed with Malen because I think that Gamlin deserves better too.
We're on Team Gamlin now, aren't we?
I am on Team Gamlin. Also, my real secret preferred pairing is Necky and Civil.
Oh, actually, I'm kind of into that now, too. And not just because she's, like, a sexy vampire girl, but, like, I actually think it's kind of cute how obsessed Civil is with Necky at this point, in a way. Because she doesn't...
Yeah.
Like, okay, possessing people's body is probably immoral. That's probably and unethical.
So stealing their souls, not good.
Yeah, but besides that, she doesn't really... Oh, no, she does, like, blow
killing a bunch of pilots, not very good. She's a bad guy.
Okay. Well, you know, she's like a succubus, right? Like, you know, they're not all, like, they're not all good, you know?
Oh, my God.
They're good and bad. There's bad people on both sides. That's a little Please Trump don't. Joke for you. Bringing politics into this.
Dan's allowed to do that because he doesn't live in America anymore.
Yeah, what am I going to do? Get extradited? Ha, ha, ha,
he's
ha.
Just, Please don't. He's not allowed to make Abe jokes.
Yeah, no, that's I do my that. Job. I get sent straight to Okinawa, dude. I don't know what's there, but
I was like, is that a joke in Japan, or do you just pick a remote?
No, I'm just
location?
I'm just talking out my butt.
Straight to Okinawa.
And lastly, we have what is maybe the most adorable couple, the Forbidden yeah. Love, Ian.
What? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, Milena's just like, I'm gonna get my parents back together, which is really good. It's a good premise for an episode. So she gives them. She goes to each of them and gives them each a ticket to her show and puts them next to each other in the front row. And they both don't show up because they're both busy people at first. And she's really upset. And then they both, like, burst in at the same time and see each other. And they're like, there's like a good moment where they see each other across the auditorium and they both go, ah, I see what's happening here. Like, they know what Milena has done. But they're good parents, so they play along. And they go sit down, and then they have a nice moment. They vibe together, close their eyes, like rest their heads on each other, and they're like, wow, it really was nice raising Milena. Have some flashbacks. And as everything in Macross 7, it's ruined by an enemy attack. And they both run off.
Go off. Oh, no. Yeah.
I don't quite understand how them arguing in the bridge got put on camera live at the rock show.
You know.
It seems a little convenient. If I were the bridge of a highly secure military institution, I would not make it very simple for civilians to accidentally see what's happening.
Yeah. I'm a little taken aback that we don't have anyone significant on the bridge. Sorry, besides Exidor and Max.
We kind of get to know the two girls, the brown-haired one and the white-haired one, especially because they would go hang out with... Oh my God, what's his name? The now dead commander with the pony tattoo.
Yeah, I know you're talking about, but I forget. But it's like,
he like dies doing this whole thing in these episodes. It's very dramatic for Gamblin, trust me.
Because we had Claudia and Misa in Captain Global, but now it's like we just have Max and Exidor and not Shammy or whatever the red haired girl's name was.
You can think of it though as having we've split up the bridge into two components. Where there's the Max Bridge.
Oh, that is a good point.
There's now Milia and her weird, annoying advisor plus the bodyguard who follows Milena around everywhere.
Yeah, that is a good point, too, because as we said in Rossifon, like, we don't want to be overloaded with characters, right? And I think we have a good balance here. Really, we only have, like, 8 named characters. That weird,
probably
like,
closer
number
to 10,
eight.
But yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a long show. But it's a very manageable number, and the ones that we need to remember have fairly distinctive characteristics. You're not going to forget who Exidor is.
I mean, and, we did.
But you always will know who you're referring to when you see him.
Yeah,
like, oh,
yeah.
It's that guy.
You know the big green Zendrati do on the bridge.
Max and Milia are easy. Like the other characters have gimmicks that make them easy to remember, too, like her bodyguard.
Yeah, and you know, the girl who drives a motorcycle in a motorcycle gang and has big booties.
Rex, yeah. But I think these characters are fairly easy to distinguish.
That's true.
So I don't mind that there aren't, because again, they have to split the focus. Because remember, Max wasn't even part of the show for like 15 episodes, because the military portion got separated from the city.
God, I just want to watch original Macross.
Do you think, Dan, that Max and Milia will get back together?
I can dream, right?
Same.
I don't think this show is going to be very cheesy. Like, the ultimate cheesy end of the show, right, is like, Neki and Mylene get together, and then Milia and Max get together, like, and everyone is just, like, super... So maybe, I don't think it will. I think maybe we'll get one or two cheesy couple, like, ships at the end, but I want them to, but I don't think we will.
Oh, Dan, I've just unlocked the secret ultimate pairing in my brain, which is Gamblin and Fafidas.
I knew Fafidas would be in there. I didn't know who the other person would be.
And then, obviously, Rei and Akiko.
Yeah, Rei and Akiko, and then Flower Girl and... Flower Girl and Gamblin. What? No,
Flower Girl and Gamblin's not bad.
Because Flower Girl and Gamblin go to watch Mylene and Neki, even though that's kind of weird.
And then Melina and Neki pair up, and then Flower Girl and Gamlin are like, well, fuck it.
Okay. Yeah, but actually, I kind of like that. But anyhow, that being said.
Much Ado About Shipping is the new name of this podcast.
Where we talk about every single non-realistic relationship. Well, actually, I think that Miss Sumeragi, if you think about it,
Milen and Gepelnitch is the ideal pair.
Because you see, Gepelnitch is actually a guy.
You can't see, but Dan's holding his imaginary glasses up with his finger to do like his otaku parody.
Even though, joke's on you, I'm just a normal otaku. Let's move on to the proto-Devlin.
Proto-Devlin. So we've got a couple proto-Devlins. We'll talk about individually, and then we'll talk about them as a group.
What a good word, proto-Devlin.
First is, of course, Sivil. She loves showing off cleavage. Every time she's possessing someone, she really goes for their cleavage.
God, she is... So we've talked about her being a vampire, and a lot of times in media, vampires, specifically women, are like sexy, almost succubus-like. I keep saying succubus, but you know, they're sort of like that.
I've watched Castlevania, yeah.
Yeah. And this is no different, but I want to think, does she want to eat Neki? Not in the sense that, like, you know, like suck his blood, but does she want to, like, eat all his spiritual? What is she doing? What's she
want? I think she doesn't know what she wants. I think she's like, remember, she's physically hurt by his spiritual, but she's so interested in it and wants it badly that she can't leave him alone.
Okay, is she physically hurt by his spiritual? Because
is she just getting off? And it's so much that she has to leave.
Because when she like takes over Akiko's body, she's like, turn up the vocals. And he's like, this is going to ruin the track. And she's like, turn it up. And then he turns it up all the way and she's like, she basically, like, literally, okay, I'm going to get very sexual here. She basically gets off, and then she's like, whew, all right, that was good. I'm done now. And then she leaves, and it's like, what
happens, though.
Yeah, it's really weird.
And weirdly enough, though, we keep saying this. She's done a lot of awful stuff, right? Possessing people, stealing people's souls, blowing up spaceships, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But she doesn't seem like that bad of a person, so much as she seems like she isn't even aware. Unlike the other proto-Devlin, like Pretty Fancy Boy and maybe Gepelnitch, she doesn't really string full sentences together.
Exactly. She doesn't talk.
So she might be, and this might be deeply inappropriate, she might be a kid or like a younger proto-Devlin.
And I'm not going to paint anyone with a, you know, a broad stroke here, but if anyone was going to do it, it was going to be in Japanese anime. That's all I'm going to say.
it is a little typical.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens because now Gijil was like ousted by Gepelnitch for blowing up Gepelnitch's weird zombie second in command. Honestly, I'm with Gijil on this one. And yeah, so now he's like in hiding. Yeah, he's in hiding on the Macross 7 trying to revive Sivil. He failed. So now he's like, Neki, you have to do it for me. And then Neki leaves his guitar and he tries playing it, which is funny.
Yeah, that whole scene is really interesting, actually, where he's going to shoot Neki. And then he's like, man, I can't.
Because he's jealous that Neki can help her and he can't.
Yeah. But it's like, oh, he's getting emotions and discovering music.
The last character I ever expect to get any development in the show is Gijil. So like shout out to Macross 7 for caring about this
thing. Yeah, right, because I didn't give a crap about him either.
Because I didn't.
I thought he was just gonna be the stupid dumb grunt, right? But no. Yeah. You know.
I expected him to die at the halfway point. Next up is, I nicknamed him Harutagarn after the villain in like the 8th Dragon Ball movie or whatever.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, how did you know his name? But anyhow. Why not Garlic Jr., by the way?
What?
Why not Garlic Jr.?
Because Harutagarn is the giant kaiju one. Oh. This is the giant devil monster thing.
Oh, this isn't. Okay. This is, I thought we were talking about the bird boy.
No. I'm talking about this is the giant devil monster thing that they fight first that roars around. It's very simple. He's big. He's angry.
He kind of looks like Purunga, you know.
Yeah, I guess. Like, Dan, do you remember what Harutagarn looks like?
No, I actually
just
don't.
Look up Harutagarn. He's like a giant bug kaiju.
Harutagarn. Hiruda. All right, this is taking way too long. Oh, yeah. Okay. He does.
So, dear listeners, since you just had to listen listen to Dan Google something, I will post a comparison picture on Twitter for this episode for Hiruda Garden, whatever this Proto Devlin actually is named.
Yeah.
He big.
I don't know how I feel about this, Ian, because
yeah.
Keep in mind, original Macross was pretty tame, right? We had one alien race, which was,
and they were the just Zentradi. Humans but big.
Yeah, the big green boys and beautiful, sexy Amazonian women that were technically the same race, but whatever.
Well, I do remember complaining that there was a lot of variation in how Zentradi looked, because there's Exodors, and then there were just like the regular humans but bigger.
There was Melia.
Yeah.
And now we have really kind of gone off the rails in the Macross universe, where we have Sivil, who is kind of weird and whatever. And then then this thing, which is like literally a giant kaiju, right? It's literally kaiju sized. It's kaiju. Pretty perfectly. Yeah.
So you're right. It is a departure. Sivil was one thing where it was just like one space vampire, and her vampirism made sense with what was already happening anyway.
Yeah, the whole spiritual thing.
Now that we're on to this whole big Proto Devlin, it does make me wonder, like, I don't know. I never expected serious hard SF out of Macross. It was always a show about using pop music to fight aliens.
Yeah.
But it's true that these designs seem like a pretty big departure from the previous designs in the series.
Yeah, and now I have no idea what we're going to get next, because it's just a personal opinion, but I kind of liked it better when it was sort of mech versus mech or fleet versus fleet. But now that we have like giant space monsters, and not in the cool way that, this is a good fight, but I preferred like the really horrifying versions of like Gunbuster.
Yeah.
This is more like, I sort of like a good comparison is the Dragon Ball Z thing, because Dragon Ball Z is just kind of goofy, right?
It's a comedy series, goofy. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Most of the time.
And that's just, I don't know. It's just kind of weird.
It is a departure. That said, I was never really compelled by any of the mech designs in Macross outside the Valkyries. So, like, the mech on mech action was never actually very interesting, because the enemy mechs were never very interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll give this a shot, but it is a little uncomfortable. Oh, the last Proto Devlin, though, is Fancy Pretty Boy. His name I don't remember. He keeps making new inventions to counter sound force, like earplugs, and
God,
he keeps getting beat every time he goes out, but he just keeps not dying, because he uses his like Proto Devlin to fly away. And my main question about him is this like the new standard now for the weekly fights? Instead of just having them attack Macross, is it going to be, we have a new invention to beat sound force, and now sound force is going to overpower us with their raging hot spirit?
I think you've posed the question and then answered it pretty much instantly. How can it not be the next weekly fight for the next maybe 10 episodes? I have a feeling, yeah, that it's going to do this for the next 10. We'll get some development probably with Sivil. I'm doing my predictions already. And then after that, it's going to be like, all right, cool. Let's wrap the show up. And we'll have like a nice ending arc, and then that'll be it. In my opinion. It kind of sucks because I don't really like this dude.
No, he's annoying.
And he's not very cool looking. I don't like his character design. I do hope that means, though, like you predicted, Sivil will join the good guys, and her and him will fight to the death.
Nice.
So that'd be cool.
He's like the least interesting of the Proto-Devlin. Sivil has her own thing going on. Harudakarn's like a giant demon. Gepelnish, if he is a Proto-Devlin, I think he is like, has been around for a long time, and he's cool and mysterious.
You know? And he's a sexy man.
Yeah, I'm a Gepelnish fanboy, but this guy's just like, why do we care?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan.
We already managed to sneak in our discussion of this. So they're ancient enemies of the Zentradi. What do you think about this backstory Exodar gives us? Like, they wiped out an entire fleet or something, and he's like, there's no way to defeat them, and then we do, and Exodar's like, what?
It's a little retconny, right? Because it was like, okay, you have the proto culture, proto humans, which are, you know, like
the origins of both humans and Zentradi.
Yeah, and then they made the Zentradi, and the Zentradi were like, I got out of control, and blah 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 blah. But it's like, God, how long can that possibly have been, right? I mean, maybe a long time. Who knows? Thousands of years. But now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we have... I mean, not out of nowhere, because I guess we're venturing into deep space. I mean, they said, Macross itself as a series set itself up really well to just have anything happen, because they're just like, let's just go to space. Let's just go.
They're going to the center of the galaxy, right? That seems like a perfect excuse to be like the proto-Devlin have dwelled in the center of the galaxy for thousands and millions of years.
Mm-hmm. No. What did you think in comparison in Macross to the movie, which is not canon, but we did have we'd have like another race, right? Like we have, what were they called? The Marduk?
The Marduk, yeah.
Yeah.
This is more interesting than the Marduk, because the Marduk were Zentradi Electric Boogaloo. Like,
yeah,
there was no distinguishing. There was no real difference. There is a difference here between the proto-Devlin. God, the proto-Devlin. It's such a dumb name. And the Zentradi. So I think it's better, because I think that the Macross 2 wasn't adding anything. This is at least saying, like, here's a new species that... It's not that they're allergic to culture, it's that they feed on culture.
It's so weird, though, because if they feed on culture, the Zentradi were known for not having culture. So when they fought... Well,
it's not necessarily culture as it is awareness, but you're right that Zentradi must have low spiritual, right? Because spiritual is raised by love and by music.
Which but besides Vefi Das, I mean, she rips, but yeah, well, yeah. But the whole point
that
of
was
original
old,
Macross
old
was,
Zentradi, yeah. Original Zentradi. Yeah, yeah, yeah. New Zentradi, you're different, Dan. Don't be a racist.
excuse me, sorry. I'm from a different time. You can't hold it against me.
2009. He served in the first war, dude. He still got some prejudices.
God, what a very spicy podcast this has been. We've made a lot of... inappropriate remarks.
This is the noise I make when I feel like I want to say something, but there's nothing left to say. I don't know.
Go for it, Ian.
They're in ruins. They're cool, I guess. I'd rather this than just another round of, like, spooky aliens, you know? At least we got, like, they have a theme to them, and there seems to be some meaning to their existence.
Yeah. I think the show could just be more enhanced if we got something a little bit stronger. This is very fine, right? There's nothing like crazy cool
about
them.
It's very fine.
It's not awful, so it's fine.
Yeah. We do this time have a mech corner, though.
Hooray. We may have had a mech corner last time, but we just didn't.
We chose not to do it.
But we actually do have like real mechs. Yeah.
We'll start off with the VF-19S Excalibur, which is the Valkyrie being used by Emerald Force and Docker. This mm-hmm. is like the military version of Neki, because he has a 19 Excalibur. And mm-hmm. if you look at them side by side, you can see that they've got some similarities. They've got the same body. The paint's different. The head is different. Neki's got a mohawk. Docker has like these antenna. Mm-hmm. That said, this is it's pretty good. I like the color on this thing.
It's got Titan colors.
Unlike Neki, it does not have lips.
Oh, thank God. It's got the forward swept wings and the plane mode. It's just sleek looking. Yeah, and this is like very much... I just keep talking about future Macross, but this is like what future Macross planes start to look like more and more. Like, this just looks like something from Delta, so...
Yeah, it's not bad. It's good. It's like a sci-fi plane, but it is not so... it is not so outrageous that it does not... is not immediately obvious as a fighter jet, right?
Yeah, and we have those forward swept wing planes in real life. They don't look quite as crazy as this, but you know,
yeah,
still like kind of based on reality.
Next up is the VF-17T Nightmare Custom, and we're on MAHQ that's where I am at least for these pictures, because it also has pictures of the cockpit. So ooh. This is the one piloted by Ray and Vefi Das, and they've got pictures of their cockpit setups where Vefi Das has got that complete surround drum system.
It's awesome. And
Ray's got his guitar. This thing is pretty cool. It's a big, it's green, it's a real bulky type for once.
Mm-hmm.
Its fighter mode is like more like a bomber. It's got the wider swept-back wings. It's Garwalk mode. It's got like the two legs, but it doesn't have a gun really. Because this thing isn't equipped with a gun. And it's got these we'll talk about the sound boosters. So they all have these attachments that fly out and attach to the back of them. And how to describe the Nightmare Custom? It's got like just two big ones on either side, mm-hmm. that are sort of like tubes.
Yeah, that's it's almost booster. Like where missile pods would be or something, right? Or cannons. But instead, right. they are
it's music
sound
pods.
Boosters. Yeah, yeah. Hell yeah. Hell big yeah. old speakers. Now, Ian, I have a question. All right, we're in space, right?
I've been there. I haven't. Go on.
Now, sound waves do travel in space.
All right,
I'm
next
sure,
question,
right?
Dan.
Okay. Just want to know I just need to know the science, man.
I think what's happening is like it's converting their actual sound into into the spirit beam, but it's not because he's immune to the actual just making himself immune to music makes him immune to but he's changing the frequency. All right, Dan, it just works. Moving on.
Yeah, okay.
Next up is the VF-11 Max L, or MAXL, Thunderbolt Custom. This is, of course, Milia's. It's pink and white, of course. And mm-hmm. this is a fighter jet. It's not. It's like a takeoff on the original Valkyrie. It's a little Razafani with its face. Also looks a little like Angewomon from Digimon. It's got the V with the lightning bolt, gauntlets.
It has boobs.
It's got boobs. It's got high heels. And its sound booster is actually pretty sick, though. It's just like a huge wall of speakers that pop up out of its shoulders.
Yeah. I mean, besides the fact that it's very much like, it is the SD of like... Like, she's a woman, so give her a woman jet, you know?
A woman mobile suit. Yeah, it really is a woman's mobile suit.
like Nobel Gundam is one thing, man, but this is just
Nobel
like,
Gundam is an explicit parody of a specific thing, right?
Yeah, but like, this is like... I think maybe the reason why I have so much problems with the transformed mode is that none of them look nearly as human-like as this one is supposed to. And this one is just like, here's a woman, human. Sexy, voluptuous legs and waist and you know, everything. It's just like, okay, you know?
I don't know if you ever played the Ratchet and Clank games. I played a lot of them growing up.
Yes, I have played a lot of Ratchet and Clank games.
Okay.
Yes.
In Ratchet and Clank 3... There's the, you know...
Up your arsenal?
Fight, yeah, up your arsenal. You fight the sub-villain, Courtney Gears, which is a real out-of-date Britney Spears parody, but it's like, it's just like, you know, a sexy pop robot. This is like the Courtney Gears of Macross. At least in Ratchet & Clank, it's a little like, it's like on the nose. They know what they're doing. Here, I'm not so sure.
Damn, you made me think of things that I haven't thought in a long time. They gotta remake those games for PS4.
They remade the first one for PS4, and Anna's playing through it, and I forgot how much of a struggle it is if you're not used to it to have to move with the left stick, aim with the right stick, and fire at the same time.
So I played that, but it is like literally a remake. It's different.
Yeah, it is a straight up remake.
I watched the movie, Ian, with my sister.
Oh, I have not seen the movie.
Don't go watch it. I mean, actually, it's fine. It's just Ratchet and Clank, the movie. Like... Which is what you think it is.
Kraken Time was my favorite Ratchet and Clank game, though.
What?
That game was really good.
Was it on that was a PS3 one?
Yeah.
Wow, I never played the PS3 ones.
Oh, it was so good. It had open world style levels, so you would land on a planet and you could do all sorts of stuff and like travel around freely and things. Good
Man,
guns.
Now you're making me
want to
play Ratchet and Clank.
I platinumed that game.
Really?
And I very rarely do that, yeah.
I'm secretly really like Deadlocked. Which
Deadlocked
is
okay.
Controversial. Yeah.
I actually know you liked it because when I was in middle school, I watched you like beat it over a weekend while we were on an event together.
See, then why'd you ask? I literally don't exactly
I actually forgot about that
about.
Until you mentioned you like Deadlocked.
Yeah, that was really messed up.
That was way before Dan and I actually like were aware of each other as real humans.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure we like talked in passing, but that was a really good meme. Where me and an acquaintance that you knew of, we beat that. On a school trip. God, what a good trip that was. A free food, man.
Lastly, we're going to talk about Neki's Excalibur Custom. He's got his sound booster, which is like two, it's like a combination of Malen and Reyes, where he's got the tubes on the top of his shoulders, like big beam missiles, plus speaker things behind them. And this is not to address the fact that at one point, they give him this freaking Gunpod Gamma, which is just a gigantic speaker missile that is larger than his entire Valkyrie.
Which is sick.
It's extremely cool. It's really good. Just give him a big gun. Oh, and the Macross transforms. And that's awesome. I tweeted about actually. Yeah. But if the Macross transforming is awesome.
I like that tweet.
All right, Dan. What are your final thoughts?
Man, I'm so happy we had this set of 10 episodes. I thought this was the make or break moment. I think you were probably feeling it too. Where even if we got the same, more of the same, I think I would have been burned out, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I would have been sad. Man, this show killed it in this set. With the Gepelnitch fight in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And that cool Hrudegarn fight at the end. It's just like, oh my god. That was like so sick. So I'm actually really looking forward to the next 10 episodes. I just hope they keep going with this. Like, you know, little peaks and valleys are fine. So if the next couple episodes or whatever, and then it, you know, gets spicy again, I'm cool with that. I'm excited though. I'm happy with this set of 10 episodes, and I just hope it keeps going.
Yeah, not only do I think they hit the transition that they needed to hit for the larger show, you know, getting to Sound mm-hmm. Forest, these bigger plots and so on. I think they also managed to land some of the better, smaller moments than they have. Obviously, we talked about Gamlin doing that talk about what makes Necki such a good pilot, these character mm-hmm. development moments, even like bits of humor, like Dr. Chiba screaming at Malen during the test. Don't you? She's like, do you remember love? Trying to get her to use the emotion because he's a fanboy of Lin Minmay.
God, who isn't?
But I know I laughed more in these episodes. I had genuine moments of humor. I like some of the new designs. I like where the new setup is going. I think, yeah, we'll see if they manage to take the transition and make it keep going, like land these plot mm-hmm. points. That'll be the real test. But you're right that like the next 10 can be okay. And if they finish strong, I'll still have good memories of this show. Edgar, get off the stove. Oh my God. One of the cast just jumped right onto the stove.
Is the stove on? Oh no. God. I don't know if Ian is going to cut this. He might not. But Ian's cat, I guess, just jumped up on a stove, which may or may not be on. And now he's
all right,
back.
Folks.
Actually, the question for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is Anna still watching the show?
Yeah, she's been watching it with me. And she enjoys it. She likes it a lot.
Oh, good. Good for her.
She thinks it's a lot of fun. She likes all the characters. And she likes the music. She's also of the opinion that Holy Lonely Night is the best song, and she's sick of Planet Dance.
Yeah, I mean, who isn't, right? But maybe that's the trick, right? They're like, you know, keep putting doing Planet Dance, and then out of nowhere, just Holy Lonely Night blasts.
Anyway, next week, we're just watching 31 through 40, 10 more episodes. I'm really interested to see if they manage to keep this momentum going.
Yep, and thanks everyone for writing in and tweeting us.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people write in with great Macross trivia and facts, and if you want to get mentioned on the podcast by your first name only briefly, I mean, you could use your last name too if you wanted to. I just do not, because I assume
we'll
that people
dox
don't
you.
Want their full names on our podcast. You can reach us at mechadoaboutnothing@gmail.com. That's the name of the podcast @gmail.com. Our website is mechadoo.moe, and our Twitter account is @mechadoopodcast. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Ian.
Until next week, will you be able to survive...